And once again, the lesson concerns the person of our Savior from the great Gospel of John and chapter 10. We shall view him in this chapter as the shepherd of life. So let us search the scriptures together by the help of the Holy Spirit, following a brief but an earnest prayer. Beloved and blessed Father, we thank thee that thy beloved Son is the Good Shepherd, and as we study of him, enlarge our hearts and instruct our minds by the Holy Spirit's power, that the glory of our Savior as the Shepherd of life may bless us all today. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. By way of introduction, we ought to recognize that the 10th chapter of John is a direct continuation of the Savior's controversy with the Jews of his day, which arose in chapter 9 regarding the healing of the blind man. But in chapter 10, our Lord goes much deeper into the joy of a relationship between himself and those who have been brought from sin's darkness to become his followers, as did the blind man. This blessed relationship is presented under the figure of him being the shepherd and we his sheep. We would study the 10th chapter as far as possible, commencing at verse 1, and present not a verse-by-verse commentary, but some outstanding facts from this scripture portion. I hope you have read the section and understand its contents. Now let us take verses 1 through 6 and title these verses, The Fold and the Shepherd, where from the parable we can learn great spiritual truths. First of all, let us consider the sheepfold which is mentioned in verse 1. What was the sheepfold in the days of Jesus? This was a four-walled enclosure in the middle of an open field into which the flocks of sheep were driven at night at the end of the day in order to secure them safely from the attacks of wild animals or even thieves. Now consider in verse 3 the word porter that is mentioned. What was the porter? He was an under-shepherd, guarding the flocks from the dangers of the night. In Oriental lands, the owner of the sheep, which would be the master shepherd, he would spend the evening at his home with his family, or perhaps at a tent nearby the fold. From these two facts, we can understand that the sheepfold represents the Lord's beloved people who belong to him. Yes, the one who is the great shepherd of the sheep. The porter certainly speaks to us of the Holy Spirit, who dwells with the children of God today upon the earth, the heavenly appointed watchman during the night of the New Testament church upon the earth. Now let us look at verses 2 and 3, and particularly verse 2 first. And the true shepherd of the sheep is revealed. He is the one who entereth in by the door, says Jesus. And in verse 3, it is to him the porter openeth, for the porter knows the true shepherd. Now the Holy Spirit knows the true shepherd is Christ himself, the shepherd of life. But there are other persons revealed in this section. They are the invaders of the flock. I hope you know that. Note carefully how the Lord describes these invaders by that which they do. First of all, they do not enter the sheepfold by the door, for we find in verse 1 they climb over the wall, uninvited intruders. Second, their true character is described. Please note the sad salutation regarding the character of those who are not the true shepherds. They are thieves and robbers. These represent men who choose secret methods and ways to do violence to the flock of God's dear people, with evil designs. Who were they when Jesus spoke these words? They were undoubtedly the hypocritical Pharisees and leaders of that day who were not true shepherds of the people. They cared not for the sheep. They robbed Christ of his sheep. They led people away from him and prevented all that they could, seeking to prevent them to go to him. In relation to God's sheep, they were robbing the sheep of spiritual nourishment, which was so greatly needed. And they also ruled deceitfully over the people for their own selfish ambitions rather than labor for the blessing of the people. Now, if you go down to verse 10 very briefly and quickly, Jesus declared these invaders came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Surely all this grieved the Lord Jesus. And we find revealed in Matthew 9 and verse 36, words that certainly describe his feelings. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. One wonders, can this be true today in Christendom? But now let us consider the shepherd of the sheep from verses 7 through 10. Now will you please note in regard to the shepherds, there are two kinds mentioned. First of all, we would mention the false shepherds, whom the Lord revealed. For in verse 8 he declares, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, what was their motive? Note verse 10 again. Their objective, which we have already mentioned preceding this remark, their objective was to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How terrible, but how true. We think of the Old Testament prophets. We commend to you Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. How scathingly they had to denounce the shepherds of Israel in that day, as even the Savior did when he was upon the earth. But note the words of the Lord Jesus relative to the shepherd that was false and the sheep. He says, the sheep did not hear them. God's true sheep of his flock will give no heed to such false shepherds. There was no universal, there was no genuine response in Israel to these false shepherds. And when the Savior came to the earth, even at his birth, it was only a small number, a very few choice saints that were looking for him and waiting for him, such as Simeon and Anna and a few others, which you may read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. So the false shepherds, the Lord mentions them very distinctly. But now let's consider the true shepherd. And the true shepherd you well know is Christ. Now in verse 7, he speaks of himself as the door of the sheep. Please note carefully, not the door of the sheepfold, but the door of the sheep. By this declaration, he means that the sheep through him alone pass into and out of the sheepfold. Only by him can they come in and go out. And then again in verse 9, he declares again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Yes, he is the one and he is the only door by which even the under-shepherds and all the sheep can enter into the fold. Please note again, we emphasize two words. The Savior says, by me, if any man enter in. My beloved friend, he is the door. Later on he says, I am the way, exclusively. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One door, yes. One way, yes. One mediator, and one entrance to the heavenly fold. And that one entrance is Christ alone. and he or she who enters by him, please note the words, shall be saved. Truly he is the shepherd of life. Note the words that the Savior declares, I am come that they may have life, and that abundantly. Now what a contrast so vivid to the objective of the false shepherds who steal and kill and destroy. They take life, but the true shepherd, he came to give life. Oh, may I emphasize the contrast again. The false shepherds take life. The good shepherd came to give life. Now, he is the shepherd of life. Now, consider with me verses 11 through 18 briefly. Now, in this section, we have the Lord mentioning, and we would bring it first before our hearts, one who is called a hireling, and to whom the Lord refers. You find the reference in verses 12 and 13. Now, the hireling is not a false shepherd, but he is a man who has been hired to care for the sheep. And the hireling, let's describe his character. The hireling is mercenary. He tends the flock only for wages. He is being paid. There were many such men in Israel, even among the nation when Jesus lived. We think of the days of Malachi, when Malachi accuses the priests in his day of even refusing to open the doors of the temple unless they were paid. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10. Now may I comment very carefully, think very truthfully of this. Are there not men, unfortunately, who today in the Christian profession use their official position for the material benefits and temporal recognition they can obtain, all for themselves, without spiritual motive, to care for God's sheep? Oh, may God speak to our hearts that we should ever find shepherds of this kind, but they are here. But a second fact about the hireling, he is negligent. For when danger appears, says the Lord Jesus, he flees. He permits the sheep to be scattered and to be ravaged when wolves attack or when others may come. They are not his sheep. Why should he worry? So he leaves them to be exposed to the dangers, for he careth not for the sheep. How sad is the commentary that there can be professing shepherds who are but hirelings, making their work just for their own personal recognition and benefit, without having heart care for the sheep. And then we may realize, in contrast, now consider with me, the good shepherd. In verse 11 and verse 14, Jesus calls himself, I am the good shepherd. Now why is he the good shepherd? May I note with you in verse 11, his words say, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. They are his sheep. How wonderful to realize, they are my sheep, they are his possession. And may we raise the question, my beloved friend and listener, are you one of his sheep? Can you say, his sheep am I? For oh, he possesses them, he is the owner. Even by the right of creation he owns them. But then on the other hand, a second fact, they are also his by redemption. For as the verse declares, he giveth his life for the sheep. He purchases them with his own life. Let me quote the words of dear Peter, one of the shepherds of God's dear people in the early days of the church, when Peter writes to say in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for ye know ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And oh, the joy of knowing the sheep that belong to Christ. He owns them because they are his by redemption. He bought them with his own precious blood. And then third, may we also say why he is the good shepherd. He is the friend of all the sheep in the flock. Please note verse 14, these words. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Beloved, please take the words carefully. Consider them. They indicate that the shepherd and the sheep, they are as one. And Christ and his people, they know each other. They know one another. He says, I know my sheep. They know me. Oh, beloved, if you're one of his sheep, you know him. And if you are one of his sheep, he knows you. How precious is the truth of this? What a true friend of the sheep. What a true friend of the flock. Well, did the poet write the lovely hymn we value? What a friend we have in Jesus. And truly with such a shepherd, he is the friend of the flock. But a fourth fact why he's the good shepherd. He's not only the owner by creation and by redemption too, and not only the friend of the flock, he's the restorer of the sheep. It is the good shepherd who seeks his sheep when they are scattered. Certainly the psalm is properly as well written in that lovely shepherd psalm. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4. Yes, though there may be other reasons that we can give, we humbly but gratefully acknowledge Christ is the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. Now may we not also go on to say, for brevity's sake, we would like to go down to verse 28. For here are words in the closing part of our section that may be very difficult to understand. But before we read it, oh, I beg your pardon, I hope this verse is not difficult to understand. For all this something we shall see in verse 28 that is very precious, and we would emphasize it. He emphasizes, the Lord Jesus does in this great declaration of John 10 and verse 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, beloved, our theme of the lesson is that Christ is the shepherd of what? Life. Now let us for a moment dwell upon the meaning of the word life. In the sense of the scripture, in the meaning of the word of God, this is not human life. This is not earthly life. This is eternal life. This is the life of God. I am come that they might have life. We read in chapter 1 in one of our lessons, earlier lessons, that he is indeed the one who is the light of life. And he's the giver of life. He's the originator of life. And when we think of the life that he came to give, what kind of life was it? It was eternal life, his own life. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. He is absolutely and eternally the shepherd of life. And oh, that we might remember this. What joy it is to realize that he is such a shepherd. But we'd like, before we close in our meditation, to bring before your heart as well as mine own the three aspects of our Lord Jesus as a shepherd. We have particularly touched upon the fact that he is the good shepherd. That is one of the critical points in our lesson. But we would also be reminded that in the scripture, our Lord Jesus is also called the great shepherd. We quote the words of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. That great shepherd of the sheep. One meaning in resurrection. He lives. He not only gave his life, but he rose again, as we well know. And he is the great shepherd of resurrection power. Now may I point out to you that in Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you have three psalms depicting the Lord Jesus as the shepherd. You know as well as I do that Psalm 22 depicts Christ as the good shepherd in death. We can call it the Psalm of the Cross. It begins with the word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Words that he uttered in his sufferings upon the cross to save us. And as the good shepherd, in death for his sheep, he is depicted in Psalm 22. It is the Psalm of the Cross. But in Psalm 23, the Savior is the great shepherd, caring for his sheep until they reach the house of the Lord forever. This can be well called the Psalm of the Crook, the shepherd's crook, as he guides us to our home in glory. Truly, he is the great shepherd. And may I add, he never lost a sheep. And then, third, he is also called the chief shepherd, coming again. Peter writes of him in 1 Peter 5 and 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, for he's coming in glory, to gather all the flock to be with him forever above. Oh, beloved, may I link together those three psalms. Look at Psalm 22 and study it. It is the good shepherd in death, dying for his sheep. Look at Psalm 23. It is the great shepherd in resurrection life, caring for his sheep. Look at Psalm 24. It is the chief shepherd coming again in glory to reign, and that with his sheep. Death and resurrection and eternal glory are thus presented to us. And your beloved, as we study and have studied our lesson today, oh, how good it is to realize, and no one can deny the truth, he is the shepherd of life. But may I raise the question, friend? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? The first five words of Psalm 23 are the most important. The Lord is my shepherd. And the most important word of those five is the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. God grant, my friend, you can say, thank God, Jesus is my shepherd. Father, we thank thee for the shepherd. We are glad that we are his sheep. We pray that he will bring others to be his sheep today in his own name. Amen.